You know, we have returned from the Feast of Tabernacles in a world that is in disarray. On the last great day, Hamas, struck a deadly blow against Israel. Interesting, the last great day of the festival period, which they, of course, targeted. But now Israel is responding with decisive force. What is so poignantly apparent is the fact that most people in Israel were caught unaware. Now there are many who are fleeing for safety, both out of Israel and out of Palestine. It's quite a mess. People were simply not prepared for what happened. As sharp as they say the Israeli intelligence is, they were at least now accused of being unprepared for what hit them. And they spent a lot of time on internal security, spying, trying to be ready for the attacks they know that are always just about to happen. I ask you, brethren, are we prepared? Do we grasp truly the evil in this world that is intensifying? They talk about global warming, heating up the planet, but what we should be focused on are world events that are intensifying. They will lead to the eventual return of Jesus Christ. And if the world events and biblical prophecy do find some coinciding in terms of, hey, this may match what the Bible is saying in terms of world events, then we are drawing closer to these foretold times. Now, we have an understanding of prophecy, that is, knowledge of what is going to happen. In a sense, I guess you could say the Israelis knew that attacks would occur in a general way. And in a sense, too, our knowledge is both general and specific because there are bookmarks in the unfolding of end-time prophecy in the Bible that we can look and say, this is the time. This is being fulfilled. Again, I'm going to ask you, are we taking stock? But I'd like to define what taking stock actually means. It means to carefully think about something in order to make a decision about what to do next. You've got these resources within your grasp. For instance, you might take stock of your finances if you're wanting to buy a car or a home or groceries. Or you might take stock about travel plans. You don't just get in the car and turn on the ignition and go, or get on your bike and take off for points unknown. We plan for our future education, for our work. In a sense, we take stock of those kinds of things. But more importantly, do we consider our relationship with God in light of what is happening in the world? And some of those prophetic events that are going to map out our future should challenge us to know what we should do next, then next, and then next. In other words, we should be anchored to the Bible to chart our way forward. Obviously, the world is upside down now. Nations were at first supportive of the retribution that Israel was about to rain down on the Palestinians and on Hamas. That support is waning. It's going away because a lot of civilian deaths are now in the offing. In fact, have already begun. But regarding the prophetic future that we know about, I've got 4 points I'd like to give you to consider how we handle this knowledge that we already have about what will happen. Now, the world doesn't accept these things for the most part, or they don't understand them because it takes the Spirit of God to open up that understanding. But let's begin with point number one, and that is to act on what we already know. Matthew 24 is a good beginning point for us to read and to try to come to understand. If you notice the standing watch programs, especially the public message from Mr. Norbert Link addresses these events. The update does. That's what the Church of God is doing. It's our responsibility as it falls to us to warn the world of the coming disasters, especially the nations that we're operating in. But act on what we already know. Matthew 24, verse 25. We are responsible, brethren, to do so. Christ makes a statement here that is not just thrown out into a vacuum. It is said to convey responsibility and also comfort. Matthew 24 and verse 25, "See, I have told you beforehand." We know a lot of things that are about to happen. We can know that the season of the return of Jesus Christ, the generation, I should say, is emerging in our lifetime. And from all of those signs that we look at that have been pointed to in the Bible, we have to draw that conclusion. So we need to act on that. Let's not pretend that after hearing so many people over the years, as I have, dismiss the idea, well, Christ isn't going to return now. People said that in the 1870s. They were saying it at the beginning of the church era, the time of the apostles. Yet Christ will return. We know that in advance. And he left signs. He answered the question of his disciples of that time, but the fulfillment applies to the disciples of our time going forward. Point number two, watch and be ready both for what we know and for what will be revealed. What, you mean we're going to get information beyond what's in the Bible? Well, yes, that's what I mean. It will tie into the Bible, of course, and be based on the Bible, but understanding will come, and that's promised by Jesus Christ in John 16, verse 13. John 16 and verse 13, giving the promise of the Holy Spirit, and I've changed the pronouns here to make it convey what is true regarding the Holy Spirit. Verse 13, "Then, however, when it, the Spirit of truth, has come, it will guide you into all truth, for it will not speak of its own authority, but whatsoever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you of things to come." So there will be additional revelations of events in the world that will help us take stock of where we are at that moment going forward to make correct decisions. Number three, stay faithful. That might seem more than or overly obvious, but some have not stayed faithful. Some are not staying faithful. 1 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. 1 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. "You, therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand," and he's talking about people turning away from the truth. Since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But the solution is this in verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. We stay faithful by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That means we have an ongoing daily, weekly, monthly, yearly contact with Jesus Christ. That's why we keep the Feast of Tabernacles and all of the holy days, the annual holy days, the Sabbath. Point number four, ask God for help. How often do we need to do that? Well, we can ask him to really help us organize our lives to be prepared for what is coming. And that is ultimately from this sermonette, the point that I'd like you to take away is that preparation can be made if we stay close to God. Luke 21, verse 36. Luke 21, verse 36, watch, therefore, and pray. Watch what? Well, it's not talking about just watching the Bible, but that it includes that. We're to watch events in the world that are unfolding. So as we do our Bible studies, we don't go in a closet somewhere and block out the world. Quite the opposite. We try to relate like Jesus did in so many of the things that he talked about. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Taking stock of our lives right now in the context of our Christianity will result in what is spoken of here in this verse. The world is preoccupied with issues such as global warming, sexual identification, political power, money, fame, and so forth, all the things of this life. Society is not taking stock of the things which will end and lead to the end of this age. Are we?